You might be opening your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We'll come to that in chapter 8 in just a moment. It's a beginning place for our study. Every one of us at some time or another have lost something that we just had right in our presence just a few moments ago. How many times have you looked for your keys or your phone, or maybe it was a book or maybe a note or your glasses or your wallet or something, a tool, and you're looking for it and you can't find it, and you said, I just had it just a minute ago. I just had it. And I've lost it. Where is that thing? Just had it. And now it's gone. Well, I want to suggest to you from Matthew chapter 8 beginning that the disciples of our Lord lost something at sea that they just had. At least they thought they had it. Perhaps there have been times that you thought you brought something into the building with you or to the house or the car, whatever it was, and where is that? I just had it, and maybe you really didn't have it. You thought you did, but you didn't have it. Go back home, and there it was. You didn't have it with you after all. Well, the disciples lost something at sea in Matthew chapter 8, and let's see what that was. Let's look at three accounts of this. And we're going to build our study around, particularly Luke's account, but we'll look at the other accounts because each one sheds a little light. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23 through verse 27. This is the occasion where the disciples and our Lord are out on the midst of the Sea of Galilee, and there is a storm that arises. The disciples are upset, and they begin to cry out to their master, and that's when he calmed the sea. You know the story well. Let's read the accounts, beginning at verse 23. And when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. And the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, let's go over to Mark's account of the same thing. This is found in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35 through verse 41. Same account, same event, but there's a little more information here, or a little different information here, and so let's see what it says. And on the same day at evening, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boats so that it was already filling. And he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why were you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's one more account of that. John does not record this, so the last one we'll pay attention to is in Luke chapter 8. And that's where we're going to build our study, is around Luke chapter 8 in one particular verse. Luke 8, beginning at verse 22, same story, same event, same sea, same disciples, same Lord, same everything, except this one gives a little different information, as often the synoptics do. Look at beginning at verse 22, and it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake. And they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now, what I want you to pay attention to is in verse 25 of the text we just read, and that is, Jesus, when he rebuked his disciples for their reaction of the storm on the sea, he raised a question, where is your faith? Matthew doesn't word it that way, nor does Mark word it that way. Matthew and Mark, why is it you have no faith, Mark says, or O ye of little faith, Matthew says. But Mark's question is, or Mark's record of the question is, where is your faith? It's a good question, isn't it? Where is your faith? Let's talk about the question tonight. Where is your faith? From Luke chapter 8 and verse 25. Where was their faith? And I want to suggest to you that that question implies three things. I want you to think about this for a moment. Then when he turned to the disciples and he said, where is your faith? What did that imply? What did that say to them? Well, one, you might say, well, that says their faith is gone. Yeah, it says that, but it says something else too. So let's see three things that are implied by the question, where is your faith? And we're going to then end our study by raising the question, where is your faith? That's a good question. The Lord asked the question. Here's the first thing we want to consider. Here's the first thing that is implied by the question. And that is that their faith should have been stronger. Isn't that implied by the question? Where's your faith? You woke me up and tell me that you're perishing and you're asking, do not I even care that you're perishing? And you're worried about perishing out in the midst of the storm. Where is your faith? That implies their faith should have been stronger. Well, let's consider why their faith should have been stronger. These disciples had seen his miracles. They knew what he could do. Now let's suppose they had just been called. They haven't been around Jesus. They don't know who he is. They don't have a clue of the power that he has. They don't know even if he can work a miracle or not. And now they're in the midst of the storm when they don't know who he is, and suddenly the tempest arises. You can understand why they don't have any faith, because they haven't seen any evidence for faith. But that's not the case. I know they had seen this. Now, remember now the gospel accounts, whether you're talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, are not necessarily in chronological order, so something may be mentioned later that happened actually before this event. But we have a pretty good inkling from looking at the accounts of some things that took place before. I know that this took place before this event, and that is they had been there and watched him turn water into wine. That was not just an ordinary event. They had been there and they had seen that their master had taken water and turned it into wine. They knew he had the power of working miracles. He had power over nature. They understood that. But that's not all. Let's go to Matthew's account, because Matthew's account lays this out a little clearer for us, perhaps, than does Luke or Mark. So that's one of the reasons we looked at the parallel accounts. Is let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. Remember, later in chapter 8 of the book of Matthew, at verse 23 is where our story is, concerning this tossing of the water and the disciples being upset. But earlier, we won't take the time to read all of these accounts. I just want to call your attention. In verses 1 to 4, Jesus had healed a leper. The disciples no doubt had seen that. They knew that he could take a man of leprosy and just immediately heal him. But that's not all. Look, beginning at verse 5, he had healed the centurion's son. They had seen that. They knew he had power over disease. That's not all. Look at verses 14 and 15. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law. She was lying sick of a fever, and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Verses 14 and 15. Look at verse 16 and 17. That's not all. He had healed those who were demon-possessed and those who were sick. Verses 16 and 17. Not just one here and one there, but there were a number of people who were sick, and those who had demons that possessed him, he had healed all of those. The disciples had seen all of that. They should have had faith. And what I raise the question here is this: if these were not sufficient, then why was there a rebuke? Why did Jesus rebuke them? Oh, ye of little faith. He thought they ought to have had more faith than that. Why is it that you have no faith, Mark's account? Or where is your faith? If this was not sufficient. And that's just the beginning of the list of things they had perhaps had seen. And by the way, this is not a complete record of all the miracles that Jesus rendered. That is, not only is this not, but the record you have here. There were other miracles, John told us, that are not even recorded in these books, that perhaps they had seen. So there was a reason that they should have had faith. Their faith should have been stronger than that, because they had been with Jesus and they had seen the miracles and they knew what he could do. Secondly, why should their faith have been stronger? Well, what they're doing on this occasion is they're following the Lord's direction. Let's go back to Matthew's account, if you will. The disciples were following the Lord. Look with me, if you will, at verse 23. Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 23. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. It is not they're setting out on some embarking upon some venture that they're thinking, you know what, I believe it'd be good if we go to the other side. And Jesus is saying, I don't think you ought to do that. And they're doing something contrary to his will. They're following him. Not just following his direction, they're following him. He got in a boat and they follow after him. Secondly, I want you to notice from Mark's account and Luke's account, they word this just a little differently, that they're doing what the Lord had told them to do. Let's see what those accounts say. So let's go to Luke just to get a sampling of that. We'll skip Mark's account of that. But Luke 18 and verse 22. Luke 18 verse 22, he said, now it happened on a certain day that he got in the boat with his disciples and he said, let us go to the other side of the lake. Let's make our trip across the lake. Let's get in our boats and let's go. So not only are they literally following the Lord, they're following the directions and the instructions of the Lord. Well, that raises a question. Why should faith give out when two things are happening? Number one, when they're doing what the Lord did and when they're doing what the Lord said. You stop and think about that. They should have had more faith in this. They'd seen evidence that he could handle the circumstance, that he could calm the sea. They'd seen evidence of that kind of thing. And then secondly, they're doing exactly what the Lord had told them to do. The Lord's taking off. They're going with him. And the Lord said, we're going to the other side. And so they do go to the other side. And their faith gave out in the middle of that. We're going to come back to that for application in a moment. There's a third thing about their faith should have been stronger. They were given a word of promise. What do you mean a word of promise? Let's look at Mark's account. We just read Luke 8:22, so I said we'd skip Mark. We'll go back and catch that now in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 35. What was the word of promise? The word of promise was, we're going to the other side. This is not a mere suggestion. Look at verse 35. Let us cross over to the other side. You stop and think about it. This is the Lord. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And he said, let us cross over to the other side. That's giving some assurance they're going to go to the other side. Now, if they perish in the storm, the Lord's promise has failed, hadn't it? Well, what if you read in the story that the Lord said, let us go to the other side and to get out in the midst, and they all perish right in the middle of the storm? Makes you kind of scratch your head and wonder, well, where is the promise of the Lord? He talks like we're going to go to the other side together, and they didn't make it to the other side. The Lord's promise would have failed. Their faith in the Lord should have said, we're going to make it to the other side. I know we're going to make it. How do you know we're going to? Because the Lord said, we're going to go to the other side. There's a promise in this. We're going to make it to the other side. But here's the fourth thing about. Their faith should have been stronger than this. Their faith should never have given out. Why do we say that? Because the Lord was with them. They're not out on their own. They didn't just all of a sudden decide, you know what, I think we'll set out across the storm, across the sea. The storm may come up, but we're going to set out anyway. And the Lord hadn't told us we could go or should go. We're just going to take off and go on our own. They didn't do that. Let's go to Mark's account again, Mark 4:36. Not only are they following the Lord, and not only are they following the directions of the Lord, but look at verse 36. The Lord's right there in the boat with them. When they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats went along with him. They took him in the boat as he was. They get in the boat with him, some of them at least. And then other little boats following along. The Lord's went with them. And the question is, did they really think the Lord would perish? Is that what they were thinking? They think the boat's going to sink and the Lord's going to perish right out here in the midst of the sea? Is that what they thought? Did his presence mean nothing to them? Is that what they were thinking? That he being here doesn't mean anything. We're going to perish anyway. And so we say their faith should have been stronger. The question implies you should have had stronger faith in this. And why do we say that? Because they had seen the miracles. They were following the Lord's direction. They were given a word of promise. And the Lord was with them. And so they should have had stronger faith in that. But here's a second thing implied by that question. And that is their faith was challenged. Where is your faith? He said. That implies that their faith had been challenged. I want to suggest to you that they may have thought this, that their faith was stronger. And what would make them think their faith was stronger? In other words, they may have very well approached this as they come up on the storm and they begin to see it rise and it begins to sweep down upon them. And we'll talk about how it would sweep down upon them in a moment. They may very well have thought, we have faith. We have strong faith. What would make them think that? Well, they had heard his Sermon on the Mount. That happened prior to this. Remember, this is in Luke 8. Luke 6 is the account of the Sermon on the Mount. It was found in Matthew 8. Matthew 5 to 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. And they had heard him preach this marvelous sermon about the kingdom of God and the characteristics of the people in the kingdom of God and the righteousness of the kingdom and how that it exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And they heard them rebuke the Pharisees on the peripherals of this crowd. But the disciples were there, according to Matthew. And they heard that. And they marveled because he taught as one as having authority and not as the scribes would teach. But that's not all they had heard. Look at Luke 8. Go back to Luke 8. Same thing found in Mark 4. Look at Luke chapter 8. Now, remember verse 22 is the account of the story we're talking about. But back up just a little bit, and you see the parable of the sower beginning at verse 4. You see the explanation of the parable at the sower. You see the parable of the revealed light found in verses 16, 17, and 18. Mark 4, you find the same kind of thing. The point is, they had heard all of these parables that Jesus had taught. They'd sat through the Sermon on the Mount. They'd sat through the discussion of the parables, many of the parables at least. And they'd heard explanations of the parables. Well, let's add something else to that. They had personally been with the Lord. They had seen him. They had heard him, but they'd also seen him. In other words, they'd seen the miracles that he worked. They heard his teaching. They saw the evidence of his teaching that indeed it was true. They may have thought their faith was much stronger. One writer said this. He said the disciples must have felt like postgraduate students in the school of faith. That had prior to this occasion, we asked them, how is your faith? How are you doing with your faith? Well, we're doing pretty good. I think our faith's strong. What makes you think your faith is strong? We've listened to the Sermon on the Mount. We've listened to all of his teaching on parables. We've been with Jesus. We saw his miracles that he worked. I think our faith's pretty strong. Our faith's pretty strong. But as one writer suggests, that faith that must be tested before it can be trusted. As it would be with anything that you're going to put your confidence in, it needs to be tested before you can trust it. And here their faith can't really be trusted until it's tested and it was put to the test. Let's see what the test was. The storm suddenly came upon them. Look at chapter 8 of the book of Matthew, if you will. Matthew's account words it a little different than Luke's account. So let's see the difference in the accounts. Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 24, the story starts at verse 23. Verse 24 says, as they got out in the midst of the sea, they're following the Lord, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. It talks about a sudden storm coming up. I'll talk more about that here in just a second. Look at Luke's account, Luke 8 and verse 23. Luke 8, 23 says that a windstorm came down on the lake. In other words, it came down over the top of the mountains and swept up on the lake. Made it difficult to see. Linsky observes this about the lake. He said the lake lies between two hills, or between high hills rather, and is thus subject to sudden tempests which develop excessive fury as they roar through the great trough in which the lake lies. So you get the picture of the mountain up above, or mountains up above, and as the wind sweeps through, that it comes down upon the lake suddenly without warning. And it's with great fury that it comes upon the lake. Albert Barnes quotes Thompson. And Barnes observed the lake was subject to sudden squalls. All of a sudden, just a storm comes up on the lake. The small as the lake is, and placid in general as a molten mirror, I have repeatedly seen, this is Dr. Thompson who says this, seen it quiver and leap and boil like a cauldron when driven by fierce winds from the eastern mountains. It's the picture that here you could be on the sea and you don't even know a storm is coming, and suddenly it sweeps over the mountain and sweeps down with great fury upon the sea. And without warning, the disciples don't even know it's coming. Not like the kind of weather we have, we can see at least on a radar, it's coming and it's in Arkansas, now it's at Memphis, and now it's about Jackson, and it's coming on our way, and it's at Dixon, and it's about to hit us soon. And we know it's going to happen. But suddenly they're out in the midst of the storm and they look up and here comes the storm. They weren't expecting that. And it challenged their faith is the point. And it looked like, we're talking about their faith being challenged. They thought their faith was stronger. That's part of the challenge. And suddenly the storm came upon them and it looked like they're not going to make it. Look at chapter 8 and verse 24 of the book of Matthew. The boat was covered, the text said. Interesting wording here of what's going on. What happens in the middle of the sea? Well, the boat's being covered with waves. It's not that the boat is just tossing and turning. The boat's being covered with waves. Mark's account said the boat was filling. In other words, it's filling up with water. And Luke adds this, he said they were in jeopardy. They were in danger. Boat's being covered, it's being filled. They indeed are in danger. Their faith was challenged. There's a third thing implied by the question. Where is your faith, Jesus said. Your faith should have been stronger is what that says. Secondly, your faith has just been challenged. But thirdly, it's saying your faith is missing. Where's your faith? Implies that I don't see your faith. There's something missing here. Let's talk about their faith missing. What's evidence that their faith was missing? Let's go to Mark's account, if you will. Mark 4. Look at a couple of things from Mark 4. Mark 4 observes, remember the story begins at verse 35, that they were fearful. In other words, they were fearful, and that's evidence that indeed their faith was missing. Instead of being full of faith, here we are in the midst of the storm. We've got Jesus with us. We know what he can do. We know the power that he has. And so we're going to put our confidence in the Lord. They're fearful. They're full of fear instead of full of faith, the text is saying. Verse 40. But that's not all. Their faith was missing because they were questioning if the Lord even cared. Look at verse 38 of the same text, Mark 4, 38. He was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him in and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? That implies we don't know that you even care that we're perishing. You're lying there asleep. You act like you don't even care. So when they question if the Lord even cared about the circumstance they're in, the danger they're in, the jeopardy they're in, their faith indeed is missing. Here's something else I want you to notice. Their faith was missing in that they failed to focus on what really mattered. Where is their focus? They're focusing on the here and the now, and they're focusing on their physical perishing. They had heard enough teaching of the Lord from Matthew chapters 5 to 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, or Luke 6, that they understood something of the nature of the spirituality of the kingdom of God and the spiritual nature of the kingdom. They should have understood that. From the parables, they should have understood something about the spirituality of the kingdom of God. They should have understood. And when Jesus talks about feeding them with the bread of life, John 6, they should have understood some of this principle. But they're not focusing on that. Here's a question. What if they had died in the storm? They should have realized from the Sermon on the Mount that even if we do perish in the storm, and it looks like maybe we are, even if we do perish in the storm, it's going to be okay. Because our focus is on the spiritual relationship with our Lord. But they had missed that somewhere, and therefore their faith was missing. Now, let's make some application to us from all of that. I quickly went through all of that to lay some principle for application. Here's what we've seen. Their faith should have been stronger. Three things are implied. The Lord's saying, your faith should have been stronger, really, is what that means. Secondly, your faith was challenged. And thirdly, your faith was missing. Same thing can happen to us. Our faith ought to be stronger. Now, we weren't there to see the miracles, but we have the eyewitness account of the miracles. We've read about all the miracles of the Lord. We know the power that he has. We've studied the scriptures. In fact, we know more about the scriptures than perhaps the apostles did, because we have access to information they didn't have. That is, we have the complete revelation that they didn't have. And so consequently, we should know, we should have faith and have stronger faith. We're following the directions of the Lord. And if we're doing what the Lord said, and we're doing what the Lord did, we sure ought to have faith. Furthermore, we're given a word of promise, and the Lord is with us. But sometimes our faith is challenged. Maybe we think our faith is stronger than what it is. And maybe we're thinking we're like those that have, we've got a master's degree in faith. Maybe we've got a doctorate degree in faith. I'm doing quite well with my faith. But the faith is going to be challenged. Maybe a sudden storm is going to embark upon you. It's going to suddenly sweep down from the mountain right up on the lake upon you before you know it. And the storm has come. And when the storm comes, your faith is challenged. What are you going to do? It may look like you're not going to make it. And if you are fearful and you question if the Lord cares and you're focusing on the here and the now, your faith may be missing. So let me ask you the question. Where is your faith? Where's your faith? When the storms of life suddenly appear. See, it's one thing to talk in Bible class and in sermons and in worship service. We talk about what we believe and we talk about what the Bible says and we say, I believe it. But where the rubber meets the road is when we get out into life and the sudden storms of life embark upon us. and that storm of life suddenly appears, where's your faith? Maybe it's marital trouble you weren't expecting and suddenly it came and embarked upon you. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Is it going to still be in the Lord? Maybe it's the doctor says, I need to tell you that the results of this is you have cancer. Where's your faith going to be? Where's your faith going to be? Is it going to destroy you? Are you going to be set back to the point, I don't know how to handle it? Or where's your faith going to come through? Where is your faith when the storms of life suddenly embark upon you? When everything you've worked for and you've saved and you have, you think your nest egg for your retirement, and suddenly something happens and that's all depleted and it's gone, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's it going to be? See, the disciples weren't expecting a storm. It suddenly came. Came over the mountain before they knew it and swept down upon them. And there may be a storm brewing that's coming over the mountain and sweeps down upon you before you know it. And it hits you and blindsides you. And the question is, where's your faith in the midst of that storm? Where's your faith? Where's your faith when it comes time to say no? Maybe it's no to temptation. Maybe it's no to something someone is asking you to do. Maybe it's no to the encouragement of the world that it comes time that I need to say no. Where's your faith to say no when you need to say no? Where's your faith? Is the Lord asking, where is your faith? When you failed to say no when you should have, and the Lord said, well, where was your faith then? Where's your faith when you need to discipline your child? It comes time to discipline the child, and you say, I don't really like doing that. I don't like doing that. I think it blights their spirits. And I know the Lord said to use the rod. And I know the Lord said that you use the rod and that works. But I just have a hard time. Where's your faith when it comes time to discipline your child? Where's your faith? Where is your faith when you wonder if the hard-hearted can change? Maybe it's your loved one. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. And you say, I love to see them obey the gospel, but they're so turned against the truth, they're so hard-hearted, I don't believe anything could change them. Where's your faith in the power of the gospel? Where's your faith? That the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that maybe the gospel will break through that when I can't, but the gospel can. Where's your faith? Where's your faith when our nation crumbles and things come apart? When our nation falls apart, and it'll rot from the inside most likely if we know anything about history. And our nation is rotting. It stinks now. Something's rotten somewhere. And when this nation crumbles from the inside and there is no United States anymore, and you wake up one morning and the news is taken over by another country, that some foreign country has overtaken our country and we're no longer the United States of America, where is your faith? Where's your faith going to stand? The storm came. Maybe suddenly. You weren't expecting that. Where's your faith when you're tempted to stay home from worship? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's your faith when it comes time to withdraw from your friend that you love so much and that you care so much about and you say, I just can't bear to tear the relationship. I just can't do it. I cannot do that. I can't go through with that. Where's your faith? When it involves someone in your family, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Is the Lord going to be asking the question, where's your faith? What happened? What happened to your faith? Where's it gone? Where's your faith when there is a conflict with what I know is right? I know this principle to be true. I know this practice to be right. I know what I'm supposed to do, but that's not what I want. Where is your faith? Good question, isn't it? What have we seen in our study tonight? Well, the disciples lost their faith on the sea. And just like we are sometimes when we turn around and we've lost something and we thought, I just had it a minute ago. Where is it? I had my keys just a minute ago. Where are they? I had my phone and I've lost it. Where is that thing? And you may be thinking, you know what, I had my faith. I had that faith just a minute ago. I thought I had faith. I thought I had a good grip on faith. And then suddenly something happens and my faith is gone. Where is it? The Lord asked that question. Their faith should have been stronger. Their faith was challenged, and come to find out their faith was missing. Is your faith missing? Where is your faith? Good question. And if I find my faith is missing, then what I need to do is spend some time rebuilding that faith and strengthening that faith, so then I know where that faith is. I know I've got faith. And then when that challenge comes and the storm sweep over the mountain and sweep down upon the sea, that I can say, I've got faith. And everything's going to be all right. I remember what the Lord said. I remember the promise He made. He's with us, and things are going to be all right in the midst of this storm. There may be one or more present tonight who's not a Christian, who's not a child of God. Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?